Isaac, appreciate you joining the show. How much do we love the Wednesday before the dance starts?
Boy, it feels like just the anticipation of the tournament is here. I have I did a bracket right when the show comes out on Sunday, and then I basically hem and haw over it for the next 3 days, and this is like my last time to really get it dialed in. So I'm heading to the printer, I'm printing it out, I'm getting the pen out, and I'm putting it down like my picks once and for all. And I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, my wife knows tonight I get home, open a bottle of wine, and then I overthink everything, and I have my brackets on fire by Friday. So we'll see. So I always like, as a first-time guest, get a little background. You attended Illinois, class of 2020. But in general, so where are you from? Like, who were the teams or players got you so big into sports or hoops that you decided, you know what, I want to pursue this as a living?
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, that one of the first college basketball teams I could remember is that D. Brown, Darren Williams, Luther Head team in 2004-2005 that won 37 games. They beat Arizona in the Elite Eight in one of the craziest comebacks in college basketball history, down 15 with 4 minutes to go, rally and beat Salim Stoudemire and Channing Frye. And that was like one of the first games that really got me into it. And then I went to school for journalism, and just I'm a college basketball junkie. That's what I love to do. And so it's really fun. This time of the year is my favorite, and it's great to just to dive in and get to learn all about all these teams. And I really call the regular season like my homework, because you have to watch so many games and you're trying to get a feel for all these teams, all the injuries, trends, all of this stuff. And obviously the portal and how these new players fit into their respective teams. So it's just like a huge homework assignment for 6 months. And this is my test. And this is where it's really, really gets fun.
You know, the interesting thing is one of Oregon's assistants is Mike Menenga. He is a Morehead State alum. His wife went to Illinois. They're playing each other. I mean, obviously, you know, the Illini won the Big Ten title. I guess for folks who don't know, you will know Terrence Shannon. What's your thought on your Illini and their chance to make a run?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting team, right? They have a bunch of offense, one of the best offenses in college basketball, terrific transition offense. Terrence Shannon's an absolute freight train in transition. But I like how this team can really score in different ways. And Marcus Damask has been able to be just a breakout star transferring out of Southern Illinois. Coleman Hawkins is a really interesting matchup. They're deep. They can play big. They can play small. They got a lot of different options that they can play. They don't score from just one area of the floor. They're not just a transition team. They can play those slow down, grind them out games and win that way too. So it's a really talented team. This is an old team. Brad Underwood went into the portal, got Quincy Guerrier, right? A familiar friend, a familiar face to a lot of people out in Oregon.
And yep.
He's been a nice, solid addition for them. And they're just old, but this region is tough. The East region is just loaded with UConn and Iowa State and, you know, Illinois playing well, and then Auburn, a team that I have liked all year long. You know, they're fourth in KenPom and fourth in this bracket, too. So it's just it's a gauntlet of a region, so we'll see how the chips fall where they may.
Talking March Madness, Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports. So I was listening to you Sunday, and I guess they said you're a Purdue as opposed to a Purdon't. I mean, we know they gagged last year. They were the team that lost to St. Peter's when they were a 15 in the round of 16. They were out in 2022 as a 4 seed. So what makes you think that Zach Edey and these Boilermakers, I guess, make amends this tournament?
Yeah, I think the one thing I keep really thinking about is that they haven't shied away from that at all. Like, they understand what happened. It sat with them all year. I remember I was sitting in the press conference last year when Matt Painter, after that, he was just like, it just eats at you, man. Like, you want to be great, and it just eats at you. And I was impressed with their vulnerability. I think they've handled this great. And, you know, from a pure basketball perspective, they just went out and added the right pieces. You know, Lance Jones, I talked to a bunch of coaches this offseason, and I brought him up, and not everybody was super fired up about Lance Jones coming to Purdue. They were a little hesitant on how that was going to be. And he's been perfect, just really filling in those gaps. And, you know, Braden Smith has emerged as an absolute alpha star. He's the co-star along with Zach Edey. And know, Fletcher Loyer went through some rough patches in the middle of the year, but I think he's starting to find it again. Mason Gillis was a guy like couldn't make shots last year against Fairleigh Dickinson. And this year it feels like he makes every big three. And so I think that this Purdue team learned a lot about itself last year, and they're ready for this moment. And I think it'd be a really cool story for college basketball to see Purdue go on a run. Matt Painter's a great coach who's done things the right way for a long time. I think there'll be a lot of people in, you know, the college basketball circles that would be really, really happy for Painter if he's able to kind of beat these demons once and for good.
Yeah, the Virginia theory. I want to get to UConn because I thought you brought up a great point. You know, you could talk about various offenses, motion, the Princeton triangle, but the Huskies are all about their sets. So kind of reiterate what you said about they're so effective, and because of their style, they're just a nightmare to prep for on short notice.
Yeah, the big thing with them is that they have as good of a, you know, as an offensive playbook as maybe anybody in this field. They run so many great actions. They make you defend off the ball at a high level. You know, teams like Kansas tried to switch everything against them, and that was really impressive that Kansas was able to pull it off. And those defenders after that game looked exhausted. They were just like flying all over the floor, just trying to cut off all of the different angles, the screens, the rescreen, screen the screener action. Oh, here's the back screen for their 7'2" guy to go get a dunk. And then we're having a 42% three-point shooter pop out and another guy slipping. It's just like, it's a lot. Like, you have to really be ready for everything that they have. And the thing with this team, too, is they've evolved as the year's gone on. They have those sets, but they also have guards that can break you down off the bounce. Stephon Castle, the freshman, you know, if you're on the West Coast, haven't got to see him a ton. He just is a freak. He's 6'6", 215, super strong, super athletic. You know, if he could shoot it a little bit better from three-point range, he'd probably be having a lot more buzz to be number one in the 2024 NBA draft. But this is just a really well-connected, coordinated team. And the sets are awesome, but it feels like the continuity with this team is just a little bit different, too. And, you know, Danny Hurley's a psychopath on the sideline, and I mean that with all due respect. Like, that's just, it just is what it is, and he'd probably admit to it, too.
A lot of talk today, of course, about Virginia's performance, and even with a national title on the resume, you know, they lost as a one seed before. They got bounced in round one as a four seed the last two tournaments. I thought you wrote a really informative piece about the Cavaliers and how they should take the lead from the programs coached by Tony Bennett and Rick Barnes, who kind of, I guess, played the adapt or die card. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I just think the sport has changed so much. Like, college basketball, the scoring is just up through the roof this year. The efficiency numbers are up through the roof. And so Virginia to play, grind them out, slow it down, execute. We only have two guys on the floor who can really score. Like, it just isn't the way. And, you know, it's a team that won 23 games. Kudos to Tony Bennett for making the NCAA tournament. A lot of people didn't think they really deserved it. That's kind of a different conversation. But this group, you have to be able to score in college basketball to win. I know everybody's going to talk, oh, you need to be a top 20 offense, top 20 defense. Well, Virginia just, I mean, 211th in offensive efficiency this year. It's just not good enough. And as the era of this of sports has changed, as college basketball has changed, where it's older, you know, we're heading into the transfer portals window is open right now for 45 days. And this is the last year of those COVID seniors that you can have. So those fifth-year seniors are going to be huge. And Tennessee went into the portal last year, got a fifth-year senior in Dalton Knecht, who Oregon absolutely wanted and recruited really, really hard. And he has changed their team. And I just look at this group, and they're going to be a lot of roster turnover. And I know that Tony Bennett's a great coach, and I know that he can change if he wants to. I'm just curious if he will, or if it's maybe time for him to just be like, you know what, I don't love this new era of college basketball. I've won my games. Maybe it's time for somebody else to take it over. So I'm very, very curious to see what's moving forward with Virginia, because Tony Bennett kind of has his way out here. He has to make the decision for himself, because he's not going to get fired or anything. He's earned the right to make this decision. I'm fascinated to see which way he goes.
Yeah, I think it was 12 years ago Nick Saban was like, this up-tempo offense is going to kill the game. And then he decided, well, maybe I'll adopt it too. And he won like three more national championships. Couple final thoughts. Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports. You said you were bullish, I think was the word, on the Oregon Ducks. Dana Altman able to kind of swerve them just before they, you know, drove off a cliff. We're the Duck Station in Eugene. What makes you like this team and maybe their shot to make a little noise?
Well, the matchup's great. I think they have a really nice matchup with South Carolina. If you're looking through the bracket, I think South Carolina's the weakest sixth seed, you know, one of the lower-rated teams on KenPom. It's one of those weird teams this year where they just the predictive metrics don't necessarily love them, even though they keep winning games. Now, why is that happening? Well, it's because they go on the road to Alabama and get beat by 50, and they go on the road to Auburn and get beat by legitimately 40. And they go on the road and, you know, play Auburn again in the SEC tournament and get beat by 30. So those type of games can really mess up your efficiency ratings on KenPom. And it's one of those matchups where I keep going back to Oregon and Jackson Shellstad, because what does South Carolina like to do? Well, they really run you off the three. They really try to limit shots at the rim, but they will give you those mid-range jumpers. They allow one of the most mid-range jumpers in all of college basketball this year. That's their bread and butter. That's what Lamont Paris wants to do. And Shellstad's phenomenal at that shot, shooting 44% on off-the-dribble two-point jumpers. The float game that he can get to is really creative. So he's been one of my favorite freshmen in college basketball this year. And if you have a guard that can get really comfortable against that type of pick-and-roll defense, I think that just makes it really tough for South Carolina. And then on the other end, you know, this is the South Carolina offense that they've had moments where, you know, they can be – they have, like, these, like, 3-minute, 4-minute, 5-minute scoring droughts. Like, that concerns me a little bit, especially with Nfali Dante and Kwame Evans. Like, they match up pretty well with B.J. Mack and Colin Murray-Boyles. Murray-Boyles, again, you're going to love watching him play. He's a great player. I don't know if this is the best matchup for him, though, because Dante's rim presence is just it's just different. When you see Nfali Dante at 6'11", it's just a different level. And so he's going to have like 4 or 5 inches on Murray-Boyles. So all the way around, like early in the season, if you told me in the preseason, hey, South Carolina is going to play Oregon in the first round of the NCAA tournament, I would have 100% picked Oregon because it's a more talented roster, and that's kind of where I'm at right now, even after a full season of effort.
A full season of all over the place. Stay in league, Arizona. I said that they make me nervous twice. They're high octane. They play downhill. Watch out. But Caleb Love is so inconsistent. They can go fast and disappear. Oregon threw him completely out of whack in the second half last Friday. Well, what's your read on these Wildcats and, you know, how deep they might go?
Man, I need some help with them because I can't figure them out either. You know, Kylan Boswell is a guy who I think he's got a lot of talent, but the inconsistencies up and down with him are weird. You know, I think everybody was kind of ready to sell their shares on them, and then they went into Oregon and played really well, maybe one of their best games of the year late in January. And at the beginning of the year, I just looked at this roster and looked how they were playing, and that win against Duke on the road, it's like, this has all of the pieces to make a really, really deep run. And so I still feel like that, but man, the resume and some of these weird losses just stick with me. And it's one of those teams I think I'm going to probably go down with the ship on, because when I get this bracket in my hands in about an hour, I think I'm probably going to put them in my Final Four. And I just like the roster. I love the depth, you know, all year long. Like, you know, the fact that they can bring KJ Lewis and Jaden Bradley off the bench is ridiculous. Those dudes would start for so many teams in college basketball. And so then I also love, you know, Keyshawn Johnson. He's been there and done that last year with San Diego State. He's been in these big moments. They can play him at the five if they need to against some of these stretch fives that they could potentially see. You know, they don't have to put Umar Ballo in every single ball screen if they do that with Johnson at the five. So those little wrinkles that they have with this group is really good, and they crush you on the glass. So, like, there's just a lot of outs for them to advance. But, man, they for just some reason, it feels like they can't quite get over the hump. And I think it really is because Caleb Love and Kylan Boswell just – they're not consistent enough on a night-to-night basis. But I think they're going to find it, and I guess I'm just going to have to be wrong on them if they lose
their I want to close with UConn. I picked them to win it all, and I'm usually the anti-chalk, and I don't know how to properly explain this. I'm 63 years old. I've been following this forever. I've done this show for 25 years. I'm the worst bracket picker in history. I had Purdue winning it all last year. I had Kentucky in the Final Four 2 years ago when St. Peter's beat them. So I'm picking UConn. What do you think about the Huskies' chance to repeat?
I think I'm with you. Find me the flaw in this team. Like, I don't necessarily know if I can really find one that's going to be, you know, really, really painful for them. And So it's tough for me to really not back them because they've been there. They've done that. They have veteran guards. They have, like, that little splash of NBA talent that really helps, right? Like Donovan Clingan and Steph Castle, both those guys, I think, are probably lottery picks. So I'm with you on UConn. I will say, though, that the draw just stinks. And it really wouldn't be that much of an upset if Auburn was able to beat them in the Sweet 16. I would love if they were able to have any other draw. Like, if they were in Houston's region, I think you could pencil them in to go to the national championship game. If you could put them in any other region, I think they would love that too. But, you know, it is what it is. This is the draw in front of you. I don't think Danny Hurley is scared of anybody, and I think he's going to go into every single game thinking he has the best five. And that's probably right. And so this is a really dominant team. And if they go on a massive, massive run and pull a Florida again and win in back-to-back years, that would be pretty incredible for the sport.
Yeah, remember, by the time they finished last year, they were a dominating champ. Folks, he's Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports. You will not get better hoops coverage. Subscribe, support quality journalism online, 247sports.com. His Twitter handle is at Isaac_Trotter. Isaac, great having you. Enjoy the madness. Really appreciate the time, and look forward to talking again down the road.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, take it easy.